A few weeks or months ago, it kind of dawned on me that I think I might be addicted to danger in some way. I haven't lived my life consciously thinking about dangerous situations or finding them out so that I could live through them. But looking back at my life, there has been some danger. I don't know if it's remarkable. I think maybe everybody's life is this way and I'm just voicing out mine. When I was a child, there was this kid who used to bully everybody. He was like a local gangster in school. I think I was 15 years old, 15, maybe 16 years old at the time. And this kid was considerably younger. He was 3 or 4 years younger, but everybody in school was terrified of him. His calling cards, one of the things he was most proud of was the fact that he was smoking so many cigarettes that his index and middle finger had become yellow, tinged by nicotine. And he was very proud of that. He was just always showing off people, smoking inside school, in corridors, like in balconies and corridors and stuff like that. And was an absolute demon. The people that I was around, so at that point in life, I had already been to a school and I had not done well at all, education-wise. And I had to leave that school. And then I had started over at this new school in the same town. And having experienced bullying a lot, I was very careful in this new setting. I recognized that I had to stand up for myself in order to be taken seriously. That's the weird thing. If you are a little bit violent, then bullying is less of a danger to you. If the threat of violence exists in you, your chances dramatically improve. I was approaching this situation with a little bit of a front foot. Some of the people that I used to hang out with, well, some of the only people who would accept me, as I was an outsider at that time, were not the most conservative of people. And this one kid who I was spending most of my time with, maybe you could consider him the class baddie at this point. The type of person he was, he once jacked off and came all over the coat of the guy who was sitting in front of him. And that should set a picture. Incredibly funny dude, but just weird in that way. And him and I were together one time and he told me about this gangster kid. And he said that he could introduce me. Or that he wanted to be introduced to him and then he would be happy if I joined or whatever. Don't even remember the circumstances under which we met terribly well anymore. We just had a small conversation in which I, as a concept, was introduced to this guy and so was the other guy. And he just casually lit a cigarette in the middle of school. And I was in ninth grade at that time, I remember. Soon after, I wasn't actively trying to engage with him. But I was just also not avoiding him at that point, you know? I thought at first that that was the right strategy, but over time, I don't know what, quote, mistake I made, but at a certain point, something I said pissed him off. He tried to intimidate me. I, at that point, really seriously feared for my life. I spoke to one of my physical education teachers in the school who, funnily enough, was like a neighbor. He lived in the same street as I did. And I thought, knowing that I am somebody whose face he has to see every day, more or less, that he would do something, this circumstance would go away. He did absolutely nothing. In retrospect, that was the worst idea. I don't know what would have been a good strategy having been in that position, but approaching a teacher to try and save my ass was definitely the wrong thing to do. That made matters much worse. Looking back, the advice that I would have given my former self and the advice that you're probably in your head giving my former self is that you should have stood up for yourself. But the circumstances at that time, I was convinced that my life would literally be in danger if I tried to engage with him directly. The problem was not just this guy, but rather the network of people that he had created. He had followers, right, who would do whatever it took to please him in some way. So if I took him down, even if I, at that point, even if I had killed him, I would still continue to be in danger because that's the kind of following that that guy had. And then at one point, that idea crossed my mind. I said, I'm going to kill him. There was this frame, metal frame that you could get that you'd put in your fingers, and it's basically when you punch a guy, you get spiked basically. And I got one. I arranged one for myself. It was made out of cast iron. One day I had the plan in mind. There was this narrow alley that we would have to take in order to get from the school to the bus station, and then I could go home. I knew where that guy lived, but that information wasn't necessary. It was already good enough to know the direction that they'd travel to, and he was traveling the same direction as I would to take my bus home. My plan was to ambush him from behind, and as he was walking in front of me, I knew that I would have the advantage. I wasn't physically stronger than most people at that time. I was probably underweight by a lot. Direct confrontation, especially if he has any advantage, would not have been a good idea. My plan was to hit him from the back, or maybe I would call him out shortly before he got attacked by me, and then just hit him as hard as I could. Just really go to town on him and set an example. My idea was not to just beat him up physically. My idea was to take his life. I remember having that thought very clearly. That was clear to me. I looked down the road of what my life would mean after the event. I took note of the next decade in my life would be gone. All the people that I would know would be prisoners. I went that far. I had mapped it out and I had thought about it. And I accepted it. I probably even left notes for people to find, apologizing for my action and letting them know that this was intentional and this was something that I chose because it was important for me to defend myself. And hoping that I would be forgiven. I knew that it would take time. And then the day came. I started walking behind him. And I was walking maybe 15, 20 meters behind him. And we were at the street at the narrow point where in my head I had mapped out the whole thing going down. And as I saw him just walking with his backpack, with his school books or whatever, like time froze for me. And I tried to look at it from a different perspective than mine. From my perspective, it looked like the guy who was going to kick my ass, the guy who was a danger to my life, a guy who was resulting in me being ridiculed. And from another perspective, I saw just a child who's just coming back from school. And I know what you're thinking. What must this poor kid be experiencing in his own childhood to, you know, become a gangster at a young age? Or why this person was the way he was? Maybe his parents were abusing him or whatever. And that wasn't the case. For him, I knew that his father was a big softy. He was really soft on him. And I think maybe this kid's problem was that his father was too soft on him. These were the rumors. And at that point, not out of pity for him, because if he was really abused, or if he was, I don't know, beaten up at home or whatever, if that was his life, I think I could have related to him and already had sympathy from that perspective, from my perspective. But this wasn't my perspective. I purposely thought out truth. I sought truth. And when I saw that truth, I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Am I going to beat this guy up? What's the end game here? I'm going to feel fucking fantastic while I deliver that beating to him. But I knew that immediately after, I would be living in a totally different world. And I could not justify it, man. I told nobody about this. I think maybe the kid who introduced me to that gangster, I think I maybe mentioned him that I'm going to take action. I think he was even the one who bought me those knuckle frames. At that point, I was like, what is the 25-year-old or 30-year-old version of me going to think about this day right now? And I realized it was me talking to a version of myself in the future. And the version of myself from the future said, what are you doing? It's not worth it. It's just a kid. It's just a kid. It's just another person with the exact same feelings, thoughts, emotions, and fears. And that's shaped him into somebody different than me. And it wasn't worth it. And I did nothing. I don't remember what I did with the metal knuckle frame. I think I maybe gave it back and got a refund. These things were in hot demand at that time, I remember. A couple of months ago, I think it's now been a couple of years, I was back in my hometown. I live in a different country now. And at that time, I remember I was a student in the other country. And going back home, I was still very conservative with money. And even though most people who have any access to money tend to not want to use public transport very much in my hometown. Or they just walk around, and that was what I was doing one time. I was just taking a walk. I think I was just going to buy some stuff from the mall or whatever. And I was hitchhiking. I never do. I was just looking into cars that were coming up the street where I wanted to go. And lo and behold, that guy in a passenger seat of a small hatchback. And he stopped the car. He got whoever was driving to stop the car. I got in the back seat, thanked them both very much for picking me up, told them where it was that I wanted to get off the car. And then we started. At this point, I'm like 26, 27. I've had a lot of challenges in life, man, by this point. And I don't know why I got into the car, but the skeptic in me said, am I going to get out of this car alive? That thought did cross my mind. And I just, for some reason, didn't take any action, just stayed quiet and stayed positive, just stayed talkative. I asked them both what they were doing and what their lives were like. And I asked the gangster guy, and I am sitting behind this person who I almost killed more than a decade ago. And he has no idea that day went down like that. He appeared to be a little bit sad. And I asked him, what are you doing? What's your career like? What are you up to these days? And he told me that he ran a t-shirt company. They print some stuff on t-shirts and then they sell them. And he said his office was just outside the city and life was all right. Like a kilometer or so later, I got out of the car, thanked them for the ride, and went about my day.